You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Come in, Chris Fowley.
Hey, good afternoon.
Where
happy,
in the world?
Happy Thursday, almost Friday.
Happy 420, I'll accept.
Yes, right. That's right.
What are your movements?
Mate, well, I'm just, getting medicated for the flight. And
where do you do that at the airport? Seems like a slippery...
there's certain zones. But over in Melbourne this weekend, or starting tomorrow, there's the United in Compassion Symposium, which is going to be really amazing. They've got doctors and researchers and experts from all around the world, the government regulators from Australia there on hand to answer all your questions. And doctors and nurses that attend get continuing education credits, So it's a proper... high-level conference.
Wow.
Excuse the pun.
Nice. Now, what about what's been going down in the media? I've actually found, I've been leading myself to the normal site, funnily enough.
Ah, good on you.
I love how this story on the lazy stoner stereotype is up in smoke. Have you seen that one, that News Hub story?
Yeah. Well, that was good. That's right. I mean, the lazy stoner. Geez, it always gets thrown up there against us. And that's why we did this Suits for Stoners campaign last year.
Right.
Where we were doing a Give a Little campaign to get some suits for stoners.
Mm.
And turns out no one really cares about that. No one gave anything. So that campaign failed, but it showed that it wasn't really a priority. But that study came out. It showed that...
Is it like a work hard, play hard scenario?
That's right. It showed that at least in legal places, so where the law isn't being used against people and hindering their life through being criminalized and things, but in places where it's legal, they've found that the people that consume cannabis are more likely to be employment, more likely to have higher incomes, more likely to be satisfied with their lives, more likely to enjoy the outdoors. It just goes to show that a lot of these myths that people hold against cannabis users, if they exist at all, they're often a result of the law that's being used against people.
That's right. Yeah. Mm. True. John brought up yesterday, he just seemed to think it was because rich people couldn't afford to smoke weed, so they've got jobs and they're doing okay.
I think it's...
I shot him down abruptly.
Just clarify this?
Yeah.
I think, as you're saying, it's sort of on the trajectory. If you've got disposable income, you're probably going to spend it on recreational activities. And I think it's, obviously people, if there's no stigma attached to something like that and they enjoy doing it, they're probably more likely to spend money on it, aren't they?
But there is a stigma.
That's possibly true, but that doesn't explain why they're more likely to be in employment and, have greater life satisfaction and things like that. So, but obviously it is something about the type of person that is choosing to use cannabis that it's slightly different to the people who don't choose to use it.
Right. And the medical cannabis bill is starting to get a bit of support from other parties, it seems.
Yeah, seems so, under some intense questioning.
Right.
Some of them are a bit reluctant and don't necessarily want to be seen to be supporting
and
it.
And do the questions get put at Julianne herself, or does who covers, when people bring them up, is she the one that has to, stick up for her bill constantly, or how does that work when that...
Parliament, they don't generally ask the opposition MPs things, but I guess people could, but it's more like constituents and members of the public bringing it up and saying, which way are you going to vote? And MPs are being forced to take a stand and not say, I'll let you know. I mean, everyone except Peter Dunne, his position is, I'll let you know on the day of the vote. But that's not good enough. We need them to actually take a stand, especially with an election coming up, so that we know how to vote. As it is, every party except for National Party is supporting it, and except for New Zealand First, and they're actually holding the balance of power over this.
Mm.
It'll be their votes that will be crucial to this passing or not, or at least going through to the first reading so people can talk about it and put submissions in on it. But they were due to discuss that this week in their caucus meeting, and I haven't heard any reports. It hasn't been in the media.
Okay.
So we need to follow up on that and find out exactly what decision they made or how their discussions went. So if anyone out there got any contacts with New Zealand First or just wants to fire off an email to one of their MPs and you know, follow that up and let us know what they say.
Right on, right on, right on. Hey, lastly, I just see here a leading drug researcher is calling for a non-for-profit style system to manage the legal sale of recreational cannabis. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, yeah, this is Dr. Chris Wilkins. He's over at Massey Uni, just up the road there.
Right.
And he's probably New Zealand's leading researcher on drug policy issues. And he put out a paper about a year ago where he was proposing this idea of sort of government-controlled and licensed cannabis and with clubs operating the retail side, and now he's kind of refined that based on feedback and things. And so the idea is what you call cannabis social clubs, which there are about 1,000 in Spain. It's the law in Uruguay. You find them operating sort of surreptitiously throughout much of Europe, very similar to a kind of a cafe, but for members only. Would be how you would describe how it would look and feel, to sort of, you know, and just like cafes, there can be all sorts of flavors and tastes and decor or whatever, right? But the idea is they're members only, they're adults only, and the club grows cannabis for the members, and it's run for the benefit of the members, and non-profit.
And then I guess it would all be like controlled. They would have like some kind of special license in a sense.
And also, if they did make any profit, that would be returned to the community in the form of grants. So that kind of makes it like how pokies are run, and like how the liquor licensing trusts out West Auckland and a few other places, where you know, that if they make money, that goes back to the community as grants. And that's a pretty cool model. I mean, I actually ran on that policy last year for the Waitakere Licensing Trust out west, and came a valiant last place, but still. The point was made. You know, I think the Liquor Licensing Trust in particular would they could do it. They have that credibility with the government of already running the alcohol trade, certainly somewhere like West Auckland, and that kind of size and you know, the resources they control. But you know, and you have it going back to the community. So then things like schools and local sports clubs and all the different sort of groups around, all of a sudden their grants are being doubled, or they're getting the full budget that they're asking for, and so it's a win-win situation.
That sounds like a good vibe. Maybe we need to actually have a chat with this guy ourselves, get down to the nitty-gritty on it, see what his vision is.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Massey, they could like maybe apply for a research license and actually trial one at the university or something like that.
That's the spirit chap, and Peter Lynham is from Massey University, so
you
could have him to nudge on the shoulder. Hey, we just had a guy text in, his name's Peter, and it's just stating the obvious. Why don't we just remove all laws around it, don't tax it, don't control it, leave us all free to use it, or not, as we individually like? Yeah, man, I don't know why.
Well,
somebody's coming with Bring Back the Daiquiri. Used to love that place. I think we can do it better than that.
Yeah, same.
But you've got
to have some rules around it. I mean, at the very least, you've got to have consumer protection so people know what they're taking. But you need age limits.
10-year-olds getting, you know, they've got to settle down.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can sympathise with people that think it should just be like another vegetable or herb, but the difference with cannabis is it is something that gets you high, and it is something that really is for adults
use only.
That's true. You know, so you do need to have some rules around it.
Right on, Chris. Hey, I'll let you get on your way, and no doubt we'll catch up next week, mate.
Yeah, catch you next week.
Toodle pip.
Cheers. Awesome. See you guys.
Bye.
Chris Fowley there, jumping on a plane. As it was jumping around the place.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.